Emily, if you'll come and bless us, I guarantee you, you'll be blessed.
All right. Well, thank you guys for having me. So I've already told Pastor Dutzer, I have not been able to write down my testimony. I have not been able to pair. I just can't. So I'm running off God right now. So if you guys don't mind, I'd like to pray real quick, and then I'll get going. So Father God, thank you so much for who you are and what you've done. Father, I pray that you'll be with my words, that you'll give me the words that you want spoken, that and that you'll open the ears that you want opened. God, thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, like Pastor said, my name's Emily Kasten. God had put it on my heart over a year ago to start sharing my testimony. And I very stubbornly told him no after he told me to start out sharing it with my church. But luckily, our God is a very patient God. And so he waited. He worked on my heart. And then he brought a friend into my life who I shared my testimony with. And she was like, why are you not sharing that? That's an amazing testimony. And so after she had said that, God put it on my heart again to share it at my church. And so this time I said yes, very nervously and very shakingly. But afterwards, what happened, like the amount of freedom I received from it was amazing. So, and that opened my eyes to how much the devil had been holding me back and how much freedom he had been keeping me from that. So since then, I have told God, any chance I get, I will share how you have worked. And especially right now where fear is overtaking us with COVID and everything else going on, God's really put it on my heart that we need to start talking, God. We need to start sharing. So that's why I'm up here. But, so my background is, like Pastor said, I'm a preacher's daughter. I grew up in a Christian home. I was saved at a young age. My parents were very loving parents, but I also grew up knowing that, I'm a preacher's kid. I need to have it together. My dad's a figure in the community, and so, but that was also a very proud point in my life, was that I had to have it together. We had it together, almost like I'm above everybody else kind of a thing. So around the age of 12, my mom started having health problems. And we didn't know what was going on. She started having all these symptoms. Also, I'm one of 10 kids. So that was kind of the reason why she started having health problems, because you have 10 kids, your body's going to whack out. But we didn't know what was going on. She was having a hard time functioning. She really couldn't do much. So at the age of 12, I started cooking, cleaning, taking care of the family. At first, it was to help out, but then it became another pride area in my life where I was doing mom's job because she couldn't, and I was only 12, you know. And so that continued, and eventually that pride planted a seed of bitterness in my heart against my mother. I was doing her job that she couldn't do. I was taking care of the family that she wasn't doing. And when you let that seed of bitterness get planted and you don't do anything about it, it's going to turn into something. So eventually it grew and grew to the point where I couldn't even be in the same room as my mom without just burning with anger and bitterness. And she would try to have conversations with me. I wouldn't even make eye contact. I would shut her out. And that continued. She, when I was 16, she had twins. And so I went from taking care of the family to also helping raise twins. And going through life, and I was also not talking to people about the frustrations and everything that was going on with me. The bitterness that's growing, that I'm not taking care of. I'm not able to control my life, so I found that since I couldn't control my life, I could control food. And so I developed an eating disorder. And first it started out with just not eating, and eventually it turned into bulimia, because I found during binge purge episodes that I could numb myself a little bit to all that pain, anger, and bitterness and everything that was going on inside me. You felt awful afterwards, but the little bit of numbness that you got, it was better than nothing. So also with all that, I was also dealing with a lot of depression and anxiety, which led to suicidal ideation. And I had plans and how I would carry it out. The only reason I did not was because I still believed in God. And I didn't want to get to heaven and him be like, why did you do that? I'm very disappointed in you, which I already knew he had to be disappointed in me because I was doing all this. I was hurting my family, but I didn't care. Like, I was becoming very stubborn. I don't care. I'm just going to keep doing this. So at the age of 18, I had to go to school, and so I go to SEC here in Burlington. Very much into my eating disorder that had gone from like once a day to multiple times a day to where I couldn't function unless I was binging and purging. But I start my nursing classes, and God stuck me in a class with Carrie Crouch, and she befriended me. I had no clue at the time why a random woman suddenly, started befriending me, but now I'm aware. Anyways, we started hanging out, became friends, and that was my first semester. My second semester, I was on vacation with my family, and I had called her to talk to her, and she outright asked me, do you have an eating disorder? And I said, and I admitted, yes, I did. And she didn't try to fix me, but she did pray with me. She encouraged me. And I'll also tell you guys that before this, my parents had multiple times tried to take me to counselors. They had talked to me. They had cried to me. But I was just outright stubborn. No, I don't have a problem, pushing them aside. So I admitted to Carrie about my eating disorder. She eventually said, hey, will you come meet my pastor and his wife? And I was like, sure, I'll meet somebody. That's fine. And so she took me to Pastor Dutzer and his wife's house and Diana's house. And they, so we just met, and that was it. And then eventually Carrie asked, will you go to counseling with them? I'll go with you. And by then I was, whatever. I was like, sure, I'll go, and I'm going to tell you now, it's not going to work. I am a terrible person. God does not, he's very disappointed in me, but, whatever I think it may have been to make Carrie happy. I was like, I'll go. And so I meet with Pastor Dutzer and Diana, and I still remember, our first conversation. He's like, so, why are you here? And so I went through everything. I was through my eating disorder, everything I was doing, how I was hurting my family. I was like, I'm doing this and this. I know I'm hurting my body. I know I will eventually die from this. I know I've hurt my family. I know I have disappointed God. There you go. I'm a terrible person. And Pastor Dutzer's like, whoa, did you feel that? And I was like, what? And he's like, well, God just fell off his throne. I was like, what? And then he began to explain to me how God's not surprised at where you're at right now, that he is still there and he still loves you. And despite what you're doing, he continues to love you. And that didn't make sense to me. Because I was like, I am disappointing God. But he continued to just say, you know, God loves you. And so we began meeting multiple sessions. And every time it was, God loves you, God loves you. And explaining God's grace, how God loves you despite what you're doing or where you're at. And, man, I could not get it through my head. I was like, but you don't understand. I'm a terrible person. I'm doing all this, and I'm in counseling, and I'm still binging and purging, and I'm still, pushing aside my family and hurting my grandparents, who I was living with at the time. I had made my grandparents cry, and I was aware of it. Stubborn, I don't care. But continue to meet with them. Continued to be told, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. So it was finally one day I was in my house right in the middle of a binge purge episode, and they had gotten really bad. And during that episode in particular, I was at my lowest point. Because I was like, I am getting counseling, people are trying to help me, and I'm still refusing to stop this. And I felt awful, physically, mentally, and my anxiety and depression and bitterness had gotten so bad, I also physically had chest pains. So I was at my lowest point. And then right in the middle of a binge purge episode, and I was leaning over the toilet, and God gave me a picture. And it was a picture of me leaning over the toilet, and Jesus was right behind me, and he was holding back my hair. And he had the most loving face that I have ever seen that I can't even describe. And then all of a sudden it clicked that God loves me. Even when God loves me the same right now at my lowest point as he did when I was the good Christian girl. And it just took me back because I was like, God loves me. And so that was my turning point there. I had to continue to get counseling because eating disorders are very addictive. So I continued to get counseling with Pastor Dutzer. I was still stubborn, and I'd love to say, I was healed at that moment. Well, no, it was a matter of, usually I would have to call him, and before, when I felt like I wanted to binge and purge, and he wouldn't talk me through it, but like I said, I'm stubborn. And sometimes I would not, and it got to the point where I called Pastor Dutzer. I did it anyways, called Pastor Dutzer after, and he basically said, he had to lay down the law. He's like, if you cannot take this seriously, I cannot help you. And after that, I ended up going back to his place, bawling, saying, I'm sorry, I do want help. And that was also another turning point for me. So it took a few months of counseling, a few months of a lot of encouragement, but one day I was finally able to wake up and be like, wow, I don't have that urge anymore. It's gone. This is amazing. And God not only healed me from that, but he also restored relationships. My relationship with my mom and my dad is stronger than ever. My relationship with my sister that I did not like at all growing up because her and mom got along. And so I was like, my sister's a goody-goody two-shoes sister. But I didn't even have to apologize to her. Man, she just welcomed me with open arms, and she's one of my best friends now. But it's amazing how God can take you from a situation like that and restore relationships the way he did. So that's how God healed me from the eating disorder, but then it's been a ride since then. During my 20s, and you guys got to realize, like, I come from a Christian background, so, you know, I've learned all this, like, growing up, you learn all this stuff about a relationship with God, about freedom in God, about all this stuff, but it's just head knowledge. And so in my 20s, my relationship with God always felt up and down because, you know, you'd have days where you're like, man, I feel God move, and, you know, I feel like a great Christian. Then you have days where, like, you're like, God, I don't even know if you're real. Like, I don't see you work. I just don't know that you're there. So all through my 20s, it was like that. And I finally got to the point where, like, I was like, God, I'm sick of this. I want this. I want to know you. I want to actually hunger for you. I want to actually desire your word. I want to actually know what a relationship with you is like. And so I prayed a prayer that you need to be really careful about praying this prayer. But I said, God, break me and remake me. And at the time that I prayed that prayer, I also had a few areas that were like severe struggles for me. And there was maybe like 5 or 6 of them. But I was like, in areas where I had multiple times brought them before God, and I'm like, I had tried so hard to fix them myself, and I couldn't. And I had prayed about them and still tried to fix them, and I couldn't. And so at the time I prayed this prayer, there were these areas that I was like, you're going to have to take care of these because I can't. So I didn't even like start reading the Bible every day, but I started digging a little more. And the more I dug and the more I read, the hungrier I got. And God didn't like take these areas, these walls that I had built up, and break them right then. No, he prepared my heart. One of them was anger and bitterness I had towards my brother. We're talking 12 years, and I had multiple times tried to forgive him, and I couldn't because I was right and he was wrong. And I knew I needed to take care of it because I knew it was affecting me physically and mentally and spiritually, but I couldn't. So God slowly prepared my heart until one day he presented a different situation that all of a sudden it hit me that situation was so much bigger than my bitterness towards my brother. So I was like, and then God was like, you need to take care of this. And I was like, okay. So then the next day I met with a friend that I had already planned on meeting with for a while, and I shared what was going on, and she's like, and then all of a sudden, like, this friend who had never talked like this started speaking to me exactly like, just as if God was talking to me. And I was like, yep, I need to go talk to my brother. So I ended up, she gave me a couple songs, which I just played continuously, like, the next day. That's all I played until I went to my brother and I asked him his forgiveness. And that wall then broke, and it sucked. I mean, it was terrible getting to it, and it was terrible breaking that wall, but the amount of freedom I stepped into after was crazy amazing. Another area has been a fear of ending up in a wheelchair, ending up handicapped. So I was diagnosed with MS 5.5 years ago. When I got diagnosed, the doctor's like, here are the meds you can take. Go through them, decide which one you want to take. And so all the medications suppress your immune system, and all the medications were $5,000 a month. And I was like, that can't be my only option. And so I started researching all the stuff on diet and exercise. And every day I would wake up, check my hands, check my feet, you know, okay, I can still do stuff, you know, it's still a good day. I had a couple bad flare-ups, but, you know, I was still able to function as a nurse and everything. And I actually did very well. Like, people have had it a lot worse than me, but there was always that nagging fear of you could end up in a wheelchair, your family may have to take care of you. And so I lived with that. I went to a doctor in Florida and we tried high doses of vitamin D, and that eventually fell through. And then I felt like I was left with nothing. And so I was like, one day I was in my bedroom and I was like, okay, I need to figure this out. So I started going through everything I learned. I started about vitamins, diet, and exercise. And I was like, I need to come up with a plan. And then God spoke to me. And he said, I have given you everything you need to heal your body. And just like that, it was like the pressure was gone. Because I was like, wow, God's got it covered. Even if I were to end up in a wheelchair, he's still got it covered. But that also very much made me realize that I do serve a very, very healing God. And if to this day, I don't have symptoms. I have ran 2 marathons since I was diagnosed. So I know that he is a very healing God, and if he chooses to do so, like, it'll happen. Another area that he, because Jesse kind of touched on it, he taught me my identity in Christ, and it was really cool how he did. So he put it on my heart to start a Bible study at home, and so I went through the first book of Ephesians and didn't get halfway through, but everything he taught about my identity, our identity, pretty much blew me away. But what he really did that was really cool was one day he gave me a picture, and it was a picture of me in the middle of whiteness, and there was nothing else around me, and everything that gave me identity was stripped away from me. And it, like, I'm a nurse, I'm a sister, I'm an aunt, I'm a runner, all this stuff was gone. And then God said, and then the question was put in front of me, who are you? When all that's gone, who are you? And the answer is, it is who God says I am. He says, I am a masterpiece. I am created by him. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God lavishes his grace on me. He has given us every spiritual blessing. But just knowing my identity in him and who he says I am, everything the world tries to tell you what you are, it becomes softer and softer, because what God says, if you focus on who God says you are, it gets louder and louder. Because I was getting lied to a lot by the enemy, and I didn't realize it until the enemy's lies got so loud that it came to a point where I could just feel the oppression from it. And I finally cried out to God that I wanted release from this. And he had a friend pray for me, because the next day after I'd cried out to God, the lies were gone, like how much they had blared. But I couldn't figure out why. And I felt beat up by a Mack truck, or like I was exhausted, but they were gone. And then I had a friend text me and say, are you okay? You know, and I was like, did you start praying for me? And she's like, yeah. I was like, that's cool. But also that day, God gave me peace. And it wasn't just any peace. It was God's perfect peace. And I can't even explain it, because it felt like it filled every cell of my being. And I and I'm pretty sure that that kind of peace, I just had like a touch of God's peace. But it was so amazing, and it restored my energy. But that's how God broke the wall of listening to lies, and also teaching me my identity in Christ. One of the most recent walls that he broke which one do I want to do? So I have a very big fear of rejection and fear of people, of what people think of me. And so God, I used to work at Iowa City in the PICU, and I loved my job there. And in November, he called me. He started telling me I needed to move jobs, and I did what I do, am very good at, and I told him no. And so he waited, and then he kept nudging me and nudging me, and I prayed about it and prayed about it, and it finally came to the point where I was like, okay, I will move. And I cried about it. After I gave my notice, I cried about it pretty much every day. But I was like, I know I'm supposed to do this. And so after I gave my notice, one of the girls I had worked with up there for like 3 years all of a sudden started bugging me. And I was like, okay, because she was fun to work with, but that was about it. But she starts bugging me, so we start hanging out. And then come to find out she's a Christian, and then also come to find out she's a very strong Christian. And in the last two months, she's become one of my best friends. But the amount of, like, what God has spoken to me through her has been crazy cool. But she's the one that told me, you got to start sharing stuff. And so that's why I'm doing what I do. But God had told me that he would bless me when I left there, and it's been crazy that he kept his word. So, he's taught me a lot of other stuff, but that's the main stuff, some of the main stuff. So I'm here to tell you that I was pretty messed up. And I still have messy areas in my life, but it's been crazy cool because God, he loves to use messy people. And you can try and tell him no, he's going to do it anyways. But he's a very amazing God. And when I talked about wanting to have a relationship with him, it's a true blue thing. I knew this all growing up, but it's a true blue thing that he now, like, I can talk to him because he's right here with me, and he'll talk to me back, whether it be through somebody else, through the Bible, or through that still small voice. Like, it's an actual father-daughter relationship, and it's available to so many people. I forgot. So, God breaks down all these walls, and I get to the point where I give my testimony at my church. So went up shaking, trembling, but I did it. Gave my testimony at church, and everybody knew me there, and I was super afraid of, what are people going to think about me afterwards, because I have to go back there. But I knew that I was supposed to do it, and so I gave my testimony. Lots of tears, lots of snot afterwards, but it was great. I actually had so many amazing conversations with people after, but Pastor and Diana don't know this yet, and I was super excited to share this. So I'm walking out of my church, and I was like, man, something's different. I was like, maybe it's because I finally said yes instead of no, but man, something's different. Walking to my car, and I get in my car, and my brother and his wife pull up next to me, and my little nephew is like, you want to come over for steaks? I was like, well, yeah, I'll come over for steaks. So I go to their house, and we're sitting and, you know, just talking. I'm outside with my brother. He's grilling. We're talking. And my sister-in-law comes running out. And you guys got to understand, Baptist background, this doesn't happen. So it kind of blew me away. But my sister-in-law comes running out, and she's like, all excited, and she's like, I gotta tell you this. I don't know if it's just me saying this or if it's God, but I have to tell you this anyway. She's like, congratulations on your newfound freedom. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's true, you know. I gave my testimony, that's very freeing. But as the day continued, like, I kept replaying that in my head. Congratulations on your newfound freedom. Congratulations on your newfound freedom. And I was like, and then God started showing me each area that I had cried out to him to break that wall. In each way, he had slowly gotten me to the place where that wall broke down. What he did to break those walls and the freedom after each area. And as he kept putting it in front of me, I was like, whoa. And then at the end of it, I got to where I'd given my testimony, how painful it was to get to that point, God breaking the wall and the freedom after, and then God was like, it's done. And I was like, this is freedom in Christ. Everything I had been told growing up, but this is absolute freedom in Christ. This is amazing. I was like, it's true. And so, and I was bouncing after. I was like, I have freedom in Christ. But it's an absolute true thing, so I don't care how messy you think you are, because, guys, I was messed up, very messed up, but God is patient, and he waits, and, man, he loves you guys so much. The amount of love, the little amount of love I've seen in my life, it blows me away. So no matter where you think you are or how messy you think you are, like, God loves you, and you have freedom sitting right there. He's just dying to give you, and he is dying to have a relationship with you, sitting at the edge of his seat, just dying to get to know you guys. So I appreciate you guys letting me come and speak, and God's good.
Amen. Isn't that awesome? And she does come from a large family, and so we've seen them at basketball games when my niece was playing. We've seen them all over the place. Her grandparents live just around the corner from us, so it's just been a joy to watch her, and we're so thankful that God allowed her to be part of our lives when he did. So if you'll stand with me, I ask her if she would pray for us. So she's going to pray for us.
Father God, we thank you so much for who you are and what you've done. Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for giving me the words to today, because we both know that I had none before I walked up here. But God, you're such an amazing God that you still use messed up people. And the reason being because we have nothing else besides to follow you. And God, I know there are people in here that you are dying to touch, to have a relationship with, to pour out your love on them. And God, I pray that you'll touch their hearts, that they'll know how much they're loved by you, how much you're dying to just be with, God. Thank you so much for who you are and all that you've done, Lord God, and how you continue to work and how you'll continue to work, God. And we also thank you so much for your patience as you prepare hearts. God, I pray for everybody here, that you will bless them, that you will pour out your love and mercy on them. You're an amazing and wonderful God. You're our dad, and we are so loved by you. Thank you, God, for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Thank you, Emily. You can see her if you can. Greet her. So go out there as messy as you are and let him love you and love somebody else. Amen? All right. Have a great week.